Winfrey.
Whoa. Hello, Maryland! I can tell you, it is such a joy to be here on this day, and what a joy to be back here in Maryland. I'm back! I have to say, I was just 22 years old when I first came to Maryland. I was starting a new job as a co-anchor of the 6 o'clock news on WJZ-TV. And I left my home in Nashville, and I drove myself here in an Oldsmobile Cutlass to Baltimore. I moved into the third floor at 10109 Windstream Drive, Columbia, Maryland, which at the time was considered this new model city. I was so excited, living away from home for the first time, from my family for the very first time. And as I walked around the city of Baltimore that first week, I saw the strangest thing. Their promo campaign was my face on billboards and my face on the backs of buses. My face advertising the 6 o'clock news with Jerry Turner. Remember Jerry Turner? And a question on the billboards and the buses said, "What is an Oprah?" Honestly, I didn't really know the answer to that myself. When I moved to Maryland, I had no idea really who I was or what an Oprah was. But I will tell you something, Maryland is where I figured it out. The 8 years that I lived here were some of the most significant years of my life. I grew up here from a young, naive girl. I truly, had corn growing behind my ears. I was truly green behind the ears. Grew into a woman becoming more and more of myself from every challenge and every experience. I found community here at Bethel AME Church every Sunday. I found the freedom to perform and feed my creative spirit. I found my professional calling, sitting alongside Richard Scheer for the show People Are Talking. And though it wasn't the job that I moved here to do, it was the job that sparked my desire to use television to tell stories that would impact people's lives. And I found some of the closest friends of my life here, Maria Shriver and my BFF, Gail King. But most important, in Maryland, I found myself. This state is something special. It's a place where so many others have done and will do exactly what I did. Plant the seeds of their wildest dreams and watch those seeds grow into reality. Maryland is full to the brim with opportunity. It was back then, it is now. And I know that with Wes Moore as your governor, Maryland's best days lie ahead. So let me tell you a little bit about the Wes Moore that I know, the Wes that I'm proud to be standing here with today. Well, I met Wes for the first time in 2010 when I interviewed him about his best-selling book. Y'all read the book, right? Everybody's gonna wanna read the book now. I was so impressed even then by his integrity and his wisdom. He was wise beyond his years. He knew who he was, and he had a vision for who he intended to be and how he wanted to serve. Though I have to say, I was delightfully surprised when he called me last year, on January 6th, as a matter of fact, to tell me that he wanted to serve as governor. And I said, "You want to run for governor in this political climate where everybody is so polarized, where there's such vitriol? look at what's happening right now as we speak. Because as he was telling me, I could see the CNN screen behind him, and that's the first I knew of the invasion of the Capitol. So then I turned it on. I go, look at what's happening. You want to run in this climate? And he said, exactly. Exactly. So I said, go for it, and I'll be here if you need me. I always walk away from a conversation with Westmore with a new perspective, with new ideas, with a new way of seeing things, a new burst of positive energy. That's what you do for people. And about 5 years ago, Wes and our now First Lady of Maryland, Dawn Moore, had come to my house for dinner, and we had a conversation that stayed with me. I still think about that conversation. We were talking about, as we often do at the table, how to live with purpose and meaning, and how to continue that into your later years, and how to know that you are spending your precious days in a way that you'll be able to look back with pride and have absolutely never any regret. And I remember, Wes, you said to me, because I had just recently ended the show, and you said, your job title, talk show host, will change. Your titles change throughout your life, you said, but your occupation will also change. But your work, you said, will always be consistent. Wes has had quite a few titles in his life. Arthur, Army Captain, CEO, and now Governor. The man has worn many hats, but the work he's done, the work he has always done, that has never changed. It has not changed, not even a little. He has always been committed to helping young people find purpose and direction in their lives. That's why he started a small business in Baltimore that gave a helping hand to college students who needed one. He's always believed that everyone deserves an equal shot at success, an opportunity to live well, to have lives that are meaningful and provide for their families in the way that he's able to provide for James and Mia. That's why he joined the Robin Hood Foundation, one of the largest anti-poverty organizations in America, and distributed more than $600 million to families in need. He has always loved our country and believed that our country is worth fighting for. That's why he served as a captain and a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division. So you see, this might be his first day as an elected official, but Wes Moore has been a public servant his entire adult life. And there's so much more to come. He's just getting started. I once asked Wes what service meant to him, and he told me, it's the thing that makes your heart beat a little bit faster. Well, something tells me that as you prepare to tell us about your vision for a stronger, safer, and more equitable Maryland, a Maryland that leaves no one behind, as you prepare to serve the state that has meant so much to you, I do believe that your heart must be pumping, 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 pumping some wild, ecstatic excitement and love for Maryland and all who abide here. It is my honor to introduce you as my friend, to introduce you as someone who I believe in, as a man I truly respect, and a man I so trust. I trust you. I trust your vision. I trust your leadership. And I want you to know you can trust it too. In your new governor, Wes Moore.
Wow, wow, wow. Hello, Marilyn! God bless you all. God bless you all. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you for the honor that you have bestowed upon me and Aruna Miller as your next Lieutenant Governor. President Ferguson, Speaker Adrian Jones, members of the Maryland General Assembly, thank you all. It is an honor to be your partner. And to all of our state workers and all who organized this inauguration, thank you. It is an honor to be your new colleague. To Governor Hogan, we are grateful and thankful for the kindness that you and your team have shown throughout this entire transition period. Thank you for 8 years of great service to a state that we both love. To my dear friend Oprah Winfrey, a Maryland girl at heart, thank you for your incredibly kind and gracious introduction. It is an honor to be with you today and always, and thank you for always being in my corner. To your new First Lady, my amazing wife, Dawn, and to the new first babies, me and James, you are my heart, you are my soul, you're my everything, and I love you. As we stand here today, looking out over Lawyers Mall, and you can see right there the memorial to Justice Thurgood Marshall. It's impossible not to think about our past and our path. We're blocks away from the Annapolis docks, where so many enslaved people arrived in this country against their will, and we are standing in front of a Capitol that was built by their hands. We have made uneven and unimaginable progress since then, and it is a history that has been created by generations of people whose own history was lost, stolen, or never recorded. But one thing we know is that right now we are standing here in our history, in our shared history, in our collective history, made by people who over the past two centuries, regardless of their origin story to this state, fought and built a state and a country that works for everybody. And there are two people who are here today who embody that spirit, who are sitting right here next to me, two extraordinary women named Hema and Joy. Hema came to this country from India. Joy, from Jamaica. Yama. They immigrated to America with hope in their hearts, not just for themselves, but for future generations. And now, today, they are sitting here together at the inauguration of their children to become the governor and lieutenant governor of a state that helped to welcome them. Please stand up. Please stand up so everybody can see you both. To Aruna's mom, Hema, and to my mom, Joy, you epitomize everything special about this state. And you are proof that in the state of Maryland, anything is possible. Now, yes, Aruna and my portraits are going to look a little bit different from the ones that we've always seen in the Capitol. But that's not the point. This journey has never been about making history. It's about marching forward. Today is not an indictment of the past. Today is a celebration of our collective future. And today, our opportunity to begin this future is so bright it is blinding, but only if we are intentional, inclusive, and disciplined in confronting challenges, making hard choices, and seizing this opportunity in front of us. Our state is truly remarkable. From my birthplace of Montgomery County to my adoptive home of Baltimore City, from the sandy beaches of the Eastern Shore to the rolling hills of West... Yeah, go ahead, Eastern Shore. Go ahead and make yourselves known. To the rolling hills of Western Maryland and everywhere in between. Maryland is home to spectacular natural beauty and dynamic industries and people as talented as they are determined. But the truth is, Maryland is asset rich and strategy poor. And for too long, we have left too many people behind. We know it is unacceptable that while Maryland has the highest median income in the country, 1 in 8 of our children live in poverty. We know it is unacceptable that in the home of some of the best medical institutions on the planet, that more than 250,000 Marylanders lack health coverage. We've been asked to accept that some of us must be left behind, and that in order for some to win, it means others must lose. And not only that, we've come to expect that the people who have lost will keep losing. We must refuse to accept that. Instead, I'm asking you to believe that Maryland can be different. I'm asking you to believe that Maryland can be bold, and I'm asking you to believe that in this moment, Maryland can lead. I'm asking you to understand that it is time for our policies to be as bold as our aspirations, and to confront the fact that we have been offered false choices. We do not have to choose between a competitive economy and an equitable one. Maryland should not be 43rd in unemployment or 44th in the cost of doing business. We should not tolerate an 8-to-1 racial wealth gap, not because it only hurts certain groups, but because it prevents all of us from reaching our full potential. We can attract and retain top industries like aerospace, like clean energy, like cybersecurity, and raise the minimum wage to $15 to help folks feed their families. Maryland can reward entrepreneurs who take bold risks and provide stability for families in need. Maryland can be the best place in America for employers and employees. It shouldn't be a choice, it isn't a choice, and the path forward requires us to do both of these things together. And here's another false choice we often hear: that people must choose between feeling safe in their own community and feeling safe in their own skin. Over the last 8 years, we have seen the rate of violent crime rise, and many Marylanders have grown weary in their faith that governments can actually keep them safe. We can build a police force that moves with appropriate intensity and absolute integrity and full accountability, and embrace the fact that we cannot and will not militarize ourselves to safety. We can and we will support our first responders who risk everything to protect us and change the inexcusable fact that Maryland incarcerates more black boys than any other state in this country. We will work with communities from West Baltimore to Westminster to share data so we can keep violent offenders off of our streets and we can welcome people who have earned a second chance back to our communities. I know what it feels like to have handcuffs on my wrists. We're not alone. I felt that when I was 11 years old. I also know what it's like to stand with families and mourn the victims of violent crime. We do not have to choose between being a safe state and a just one. Maryland can, and we will, be both. We're often told that climate change is a problem for the future, or something that you only have to worry about if you live in farmlands or in a flood zone. But climate change is an existential threat, and it is happening now in our communities. And so confronting climate change represents another chance for Maryland to lead. We can and we will be a leader in wind technology, in grid electrification, and in clean transit. We will protect our jewel, the Chesapeake Bay, and address toxic air pollution that chokes our cities, and we will put Maryland on track to generate 100% clean energy by 2035 and create thousands of jobs in the process. Clean energy will not just be a part of our economy, clean energy will define our economy in Maryland. But that requires everybody. Companies, communities, state and local governments, and the people to take bold and decisive action together. And importantly, we do not have to choose between giving our children an excellent education and an equitable one. We will ensure that every single one of our students and every single one of our children knows that this state loves and needs them, and we will create policies that can help them thrive. We will invest in our special education students, our English language learners, our LGBTQIA students, students experiencing homelessness, and every single child who needs a little extra help. And we will see to it that mental and behavioral health challenges do not prevent our children from getting the education that they deserve as well. And while Maryland is home to some of the best and some of the greatest institutions of higher education in this country, something we should be very, very proud of, we must end this myth that young people must attend one of them in order to be successful. That's not the path for every student. To be clear, it wasn't my path. I joined the military when I was 17 years old. I went to a 2-year college. And I think things worked out pretty well. Every student in Maryland will know that there are paths to their success and their fulfillment. And those paths begin with high quality and highly inclusive schools from pre-K to 12th grade. Now, my own journey started in military school, where I learned one of my core values, service. I went on to lead soldiers in Afghanistan, and my years of service transformed me. My character was strengthened, my vistas were widened, and my leadership was tested. I want every young Marylander of every background and from every community to have the opportunity to serve our state. That's why we will offer a service year option for all high school graduates. A year of service can prepare our young people for their careers and also provide our state with future leaders, public servants that we desperately need. The challenges that we will face will require all of us to answer this call to service, to go out and join the ranks of our teachers and our firefighters, our police officers and our civil servants, our nurses and our union members. You've elected me to serve as your governor, but the work will be done together. Now, fair warning, there are going to be skeptics and people who say that we cannot rise above the toxic partisanship that we see too often in today's politics, where people care more about where the idea came from than is it a good idea? Those are the same voices that told me at the beginning of this campaign, you don't understand how politics works. And to them, I said and I say, we must govern on big principles and not on petty differences. That we must govern in a way that addresses the needs of all of our families and not worrying about what a political ideology asks us to believe and asks us to do. That we must govern in a way that we will never forget who it is that we're fighting for and what it is that we're supposed to be fighting for. We know that in this moment we have a chance, we have an opportunity, and we have a unique place and space to do something special. And when people say, well, how do you know that you can do this, or how do you know that you can execute upon this in this time of divisiveness, in this time of political vitriol, my answer is this: it's the only way that I've ever led. You know what question I never once asked my soldiers when I was leading soldiers in Afghanistan? What's your political party? It didn't matter. We had one job, one goal, and one mission. My job was to unify our unit and go out and accomplish that mission, and it's the same job and responsibility that we have right now. If we are divided, we can't win. But if we are united, we can't lose. Now, we know that we stand here on the cusp and in a time of a historic measure. And we're very humbled by that. We know that in this time, that while for both Aruna and myself, that we're walking in a space that and we're able to see higher because of the shoulders that we're standing on. We also know that is not the assignment. That in this time and in this moment, we have a unique opportunity to lead and to love. We have a unique opportunity to build and to grow. But that opportunity can only happen if we're doing it together. Now is the opportunity that we have to march forward and to march together. And let us march on till victory is won. Today is not the victory. Today is the opportunity. It is our opportunity to lead with love. It is our opportunity to create with compassion. It's our opportunity to fight fearlessly for our future. Maryland, our time is right now. Our time is now to build a state that for those who came before us, that they fought for, and it's a state that leaves no one behind. This is not a slogan. It is the fulfillment of a hope. Maryland, it's time. Let's lead, and let's do it together. God bless you all, and thank you so much.